Hey everybody, welcome to episode 328 of the Bite Me Podcast. We're going to call Dylan McSniffles today, is that correct?
It's pretty accurate. I think I've sneezed 67 times today.
Springtime in Seattle, man. Is it cottonwood season out there yet?
I do not see the cottonwood yet. Oh. I think that could be because it hasn't really been windy.
Cottonwood season in Seattle, man, was like I'd get spring allergies and then they'd like go away and then cottonwood season would come around. I'm like, no, it just sucks. Yeah. Hate it. Hate
it's supposed it. To well, get hot this week, so.
Well, do your best, man. Try and stay sane. Get some Sudafed or something. And Colby's here. How you doing, man?
Woo!
I'm good.
How are your allergies?
Just fine.
Mine are always terrible now. Just 24/7, 365. Bad allergies. Sucks. I forgot how to breathe there for a second. We're going to talk about video games in addition to allergies. I'm not sure which one we'll talk about more. We'll see. We got what we've been playing. We've got news. Activision is making more money off PC than consoles, which is kind of crazy. I'm going to call this next story the too little too late tax, but I mean, better late than never, I guess. If you need more storage space for your Xbox, I've got some good news. Phil Spencer is disappointed. Is Phil Spencer sad? Does that make you sad? It makes me a little bit sad. Just a little bit. Riot Games is going to have to spend a bunch of money. We knew that. We just know how they're going to spend it now. Did you guys know that there's a Doom, like a series of Doom RPGs?
I did.
I did not know that. Got some news about that.
Only because I read about it like 2 days ago.
That's... Again, Colby, better late than never.
Just ahead of the curve.
We're going to talk a little bit about Game Pass, and how you can give that to your friends now. We got questions from QWERTYHJKL1234 and Prime Fan. We've got some cheap free games. We got some Humble Bundle. Then we'll stop. Just stop talking. My wife's baking fresh bread right now. I'm very excited about eating that. It smells terrific. So that's what I'm going to do after this podcast. A little bread, a little butter, a little jam. Colby, what have you been playing?
Video games, mostly.
How did you like that?
It's new and exciting.
Love video games, man. It's cool.
I have been playing... I beat Ghostwire Tokyo.
I'm so proud.
On the podcast. Yeah, it's good. I really enjoyed it.
I think that's what I'm playing next.
Yeah, I really did like it. Still playing Immortals Fenyx Rising, or as I call it, hey, you like that puzzle? How about we do it 5 more times?
Colby's not having as good a time with Immortals Fenyx Rising as I had with Immortals Fenyx Rising.
I think it's a good game as long as you don't have to do the stupid puzzles.
Yeah, Colby and I talk a lot playing video games on Saturday and Sunday, and Colby mostly was swearing this weekend.
I don't remember hating the
puzzles that much.
Yeah,
all they are is, hey, you'd like doing that, you know, puzzle once? Do it 5 more times to get out of this vault. I'm like,
I guess that's true. Yeah, you kind of do. In each vault, you kind of do the same thing over and over.
Puzzle over and over.
But that's because they teach you the thing, and then they like make it slightly harder 5 times.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And which I guess, have to do puzzles to get more health. So. Kind of have to do the puzzles.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think that's just like
I'm still having a good time, but it's.
I just think that's like my least favorite thing that video games do, though, is like you did this once, now do it again, now do it again, now do it again. It's just, I assume that it is just because they want video games to be longer, but I find it just. So frustrating.
Because if they don't do that, then people will be like, this game's not worth anything.
I know, right?
Right.
It's terrible. But man, I don't like it at all. Really, really not a fan. Anyway, Cole, go ahead.
I have also been playing the new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game that's on mobile, which is a roguelike.
So weird.
And is actually pretty good. So, I mean, as long as you play it with a controller. I can't imagine playing it not with a controller, but... With a controller, I've heard it described as Hades, but Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and that's kind of what it is.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That's so weird. So, question. The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle games on the Nintendo, was that also a roguelike, or was that just shatteringly difficult?
The second one.
Okay.
Though I have since learned that it's real easy to do the that dam level.
Oh, really?
You just go through it as fast as you can. It doesn't matter if you get hit.
Interesting.
That's how, like, people who speedrun it do it. You just go through it.
Huh.
You don't try to, like, not hit it, because you're going to hit it anyway, and it's going to take you a long time.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah, yeah. No, that game sucked.
Yeah. But, no, it's on Apple...
Arcade?
Game Arcade. There we go. And so if you have that, I suggest giving it a try. But again, if you have a controller, I can't imagine playing that without a controller. But I've only played it maybe an hour or so, but it's good. It That's plays awesome. Really well.
I have a controller. I might have to try it.
And then I started playing Redfall. And
you mean the worst game on any video game system ever?
The most controversial take ever. It's good. Like,
are you sure, Colby? Because everyone else says it's terrible.
Don't get me wrong. There are parts of it that are janky. Like the AI for the bad guys is just bad. It needs to be fixed. Sometimes you'll shoot a guy and like the guy next to him won't notice that his friend just had his, you know, head splattered everywhere.
It happened to me once.
But like, other than that, I haven't really run into any issues. I haven't really run into anything that I'm like, well, this sucks. And I've been having a really fun time playing it. I heard it described as a horror-themed... what is the game? Borderlands.
Huh.
And that's kind of what it is. I've been playing it single-player. I haven't touched multiplayer, because why would I do that? So maybe a lot of the problems are in multiplayer? And maybe I'm just not seeing that.
I don't think so. I think people are just... I think people just don't understand that some games are going to be a 7 out of 10. And that might be a game that you've been super excited about.
It's a solid, like, 7 out of 10.
Yeah.
It's not going to, you know, get Game of the Year. But, like, I've put 14 hours into it. And I'm... having a really good time.
Yeah.
I thought that I was going to beat it right before the podcast, because there's like the big boss that you're like, you know, has been taunting you the whole time, and you fight him and you beat him, and then it's like, hey, there's a whole other section that you get to go do now. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll go do that now. Like a section that appears to be as big, if not bigger, than the original section.
Interesting.
So, like, I mean, I put 14 hours into the first section, so I don't know if I'm going to put another 14 hours into this one, if it's similar or if there's less stuff to do, but I don't know. But I'm going to do it, because, like I said, I'm having fun.
Yeah.
I
definitely want to try it, even if it's just for a little bit. It looks interesting.
Yeah.
So,
maybe we need to find... Like I said,
We need to get two people, and we'll play it four-player.
I'd be interested to see if, like, multiplayer is janky.
Yeah,
because like at its heart, it is like a multiplayer game, but like the single player plays just fine. I haven't, you know, really run into anything that I'm like, oh wow, that's bad. I haven't even run into any of the floating chimneys, Cliff.
That's the thing I keep seeing all over the internet is like, how can you play this game? And like, it's a guy on a roof looking down into a chimney, and the chimney doesn't go anywhere. It just like goes into the roof, and I'm like, oh no, like what will we do? So I don't know, man.
Yeah. I don't know if you were like kind of put off by the reviews and stuff like that and didn't try it, maybe give it a try.
It's free on Game Pass, yo.
It's free on Game Pass, and I mean, I've really been enjoying it.
It's just okay.
It's like one of those games that literally, like, I, you know, play it in the like mornings, you know, before my kid wakes up, and then like when she wakes up, I'm like, oh man, I wish I could be playing that some more. So I don't know. To me, that says that it's a good game.
Right. I don't know. I'm glad you're having fun, Colin. I'm excited to check it out. So,
yeah,
all good. You've been playing anything, Dylan?
No.
It's okay. I promise it's okay. I've just been playing more Dragon Age Inquisition. I told Colby, I'm like, it's weird. I'm only like 20 hours into this game, and it gave me the final quest. Like, it's given me one of those quests. It's like, if you go past this point, you may not be able to go back. And I'm like, I think it's the end. And then I realized that that's just the end of Act 1.
Mm.
So, like, I'm not near the end. It's legitimately like a 60-hour game. So I guess I've got another 40 hours to go. But super fun. Really having a great time with it. Nothing shocking to tell you about. But I don't know. I did pick up a guy. And it's so weird because...
Like, this wasn't in the game.
It was not in the game. No. A new companion in the game. And the guy just, like, starts... Like, I barely have even had dialogue with him. And he and my character just start, like, flirting, like, aggressively. And it was so strange because I, like, never talked to this guy before. It felt incredibly unnatural. But besides, maybe it was just because it was a guy flirting with me. But I don't know. Maybe that's why it felt unnatural. But it felt very out of place in the game where it just, like, all these weird double entendres after I talked to him maybe for... 3 or 4 minutes in the rest of the game. So whatever, dude has a thing for dwarfs. And by that, I mean like the race of people, not like little folk, but whatever. I also played a little teeny bit of What the Car, which is the new mobile game from the people who made What the Golf. I've only played like 4 or 5 levels in it, but it's very much if you liked What the Golf, I think you'd like What the Car. Like the first one is you're like a car and you're driving around, and like the second one you're like a car but legs, and then the third one you're like a car but with too many legs. It's just goofy. It's fun. So it's on Apple Arcade too.
How many legs is too many legs for a car?
Like 10 probably. Hmm. It was more like a huddle and less like a car at that point. I think it just rolled essentially. So yeah, there are too many legs for a car.
A car with too many legs, I think of Inside.
Mm-hmm. That's what I mean. Yeah, it's like the huddle. Yeah.
I didn't know that's what it's called.
That's what it's called. Yeah. No, I think a car could legitimately have 6 legs probably and just be fine. Maybe.
Is it an insect then?
Yeah,
does it
essentially.
Have 3 parts to it?
Well, I mean, I think if it's like if you're a truck with an extended cab and you've got 6 legs, I think that's just an insect, I believe. Like I think. I don't really know about bugs, to be honest, but anywho, that's what we've been playing. Big shout out to our patrons. These are the fine folks who give us a little bit of cash every month to keep this show mostly on the rails. Like, I'm not going to say 100%, but mostly they do what they can. If you are a producer level patron, we shout out your name. Big, big shout outs to Alan Schulte, Joe Cole Jr., Anonymous, and Rich Deacon. I actually remembered to update things this week. I know. I'm like all over this call. I'm like super all over this. Big shout out to Brian Henniger too. He is our latest patron, so thank you for becoming a patron of the Bite Me podcast. We appreciate it.
News:
Dylan's back, better than ever, baby. Activision is making more money off of PCs than consoles, but I think really what we should talk about first is the fact that last quarter, so between January 1st and March 31st, Activision made exactly $666 million on PC. That they're the devil's video game company, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Suspicious.
Super suspicious. So, yeah, but no, they made $666 million on PC versus $639 million on console for, that's a whopping, like, $1.2 billion. Like, never let it be said that they don't make money. Apparently, mostly due to Call of Duty and Overwatch 2 is the reason they're making more money on PC, right?
I didn't realize, I'm like, they make it? And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Blizzard. They make...
But Blizzard, yeah, like a lot of their revenue is PC centric. So things like Diablo Immortals, which is only available on PC, and something else. I don't remember what the other game was, but yeah, like they're making WoW, and specifically the new release for WoW Dragonflight, the new like. Expansion. So yeah, no, apparently it's never happened before, and it's happened for Activision for 3 quarters in a row. So which is interesting to me because I thought I'd kind of heard that like PC gaming had kind of a renaissance and then had kind of come back from that a little, like it backed away from that a little bit. Like people were doing PCs less. Like to me, like I like PC gaming as much as the next person, but the cost of it is prohibitive enough that I really kind of figured that that wouldn't be happening. But apparently Call of Duty and Overwatch 2 are making money on PC for Blizzard, so or Activision Blizzard. Anyway, I think that's interesting. Next up, yeah, I don't know. This one time, Colby, I was hungry. No, it seemed like it was about the same as normal. Okay. So yeah.
So it was like, I guess it would be one thing if like the console side like stagnated while the others grow. But
I was not under that impression that it was just like kind of how it was. As I said earlier, the too little too late tax, the Biden administration wants to propose a heavy tax on cryptocurrency miners. And all I got to say is, wouldn't it have been nice if they'd done this like, say, 2 years ago when the video card I wanted was selling for three times the price that, you know, it was MSRPing for? I mean, like, this is good, I guess. What they're saying is that they that currently crypto mining firms do not have to pay for the full cost they impose on others in the form of local environmental pollution, higher energy prices, and the impact of increased greenhouse gas emissions on the climate. The DAME tax, which is what they're calling it, encourages firms to start taking better account of the harms they impose on society. It stands for Digital Asset Mining Energy, which is, that's not an acronym. That's four words they put together. But, you know, whatever. It's they'll have to pay a tax equal to 30% of the cost of the electricity they use in cryptocurrency mining. And it's aimed at, like, it's not aimed at, like, you that has like a fancy crypto set up in your, you know, living room. It's aimed at those people that you see that have, you know, a warehouse full of video cards that are, you know, mining aggressively. But I don't think there's a lot of either of those things really any longer, honestly. So again, the Biden administration making extremely important legislation now, I guess, which is, again, better late than never. And I guess maybe what this does do is it maybe would prevent crypto from becoming a thing again. You know, maybe this would be enough to kind of stamp that out. I mean, let's be honest, it might be easier to do this than to actually, like, legislate crypto, to be honest. Like, maybe this kills it in a ways and then you don't have to worry about legislating it. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see. I've got an Xbox Series X. You have a Series X too, Carl. You don't have a one of the new Xboxes, right, Dylan?
No.
So the Series X, like, I don't think, like, I don't really run out of hard drive space on that too often. Do you run out on yours, Carl?
No.
Nah.
Delete a game and call it good.
Yeah. My kid though has a Series S, and the hard drive on that thing is like 380 gigs after you like install the operating system and so on and so forth. So he hits that edge quite a bit. It's not great. And the up until very recently, the cost of that storage was $240, I want to say, for a terabyte, which is a lot. Like a lot. The good news is though, just dropped temporarily down to 150. And oh, 220, I guess, down to 150. And apparently they have announced that price cut is going to be permanent. So if you want an extra terabyte, still expensive, but like $150 for a terabyte's not outlandish. It's not as crazy as it could be. So that is good news if you, unfortunately, my kid got one for Christmas. So, you know, he's bought too early.
Bummer.
Yeah. But $150 is way better than $220. Like I said, it probably would have been better if it was like the PlayStation where you could just buy an SSD and plop it in there, but what do you do? Phil Spencer is sad. And Phil Spencer's sad. It makes me sad. He's sad that the Competition and Market Authority decided in the UK to block the Microsoft Activision Blizzard merger. But I want to read you this quote because I've never heard a dude like start a paragraph saying like, hey, I think it's disappointing, I think they're wrong, and then end it with like, well, but maybe not. He says the CMA decision was disappointing. I've been talking to that group for for coming up on a year. They've defined a market of cloud gaming that in my mind doesn't really exist today, but they have a point of view that maybe we have a lead in a market that's just forming, that this content could somehow prohibit others from competing in that market. So he's like, I don't think they're right. I guess maybe,
I think the strangest thing about it is they blocked it because of cloud gaming and not because of Activision.
Yeah, it's entirely cloud gaming, which is so weird.
I don't even know how that affects Activision Blizzard, but like I don't get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the theory being is that cloud gaming is kind of a technology that there's no competition in, really, or very minor competition, and adding Activision Blizzard to this mix of cloud gaming could make it so that Microsoft has such an advantage over cloud gaming that no one else would ever be able to compete in it either. You know, when you can just go, this is great. So first Dylan's microphone died, then Colby died. Wait, are you alive again, Colby?
I'm back.
We got a necromancer. Colby's back in the game. I don't know what's happening with this podcast, but cloud gaming, yo.
I think it's unfair to punish Microsoft and Activision Blizzard for Google not being able to compete in the space.
Right?
Like, it's kind of dumb because
there was competition in the space, and they just like, nah, it's too hard.
Like, there's no space.
Yeah.
That would be my argument, is there's no space. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't disagree. Riot Games. They make LOL, but they're also a dumpster fire. you may have remember us talking about how they decided that they were going to pool $100 million to give compensation to the just under 1,550 people who... It's literally almost every woman that's ever worked for them. I believe they said 7 people opted out of getting a piece of this cash because just working there was just a constant, you know, mash of gender discrimination and harassment and other horrible, horrible things. So they finally kind of figured that out. Apparently, the 1,548 claimants will get an initial payment ranging from $2,500 to $5,000 with an additional damages up to $40,000 per person, depending on if that person was a contractor, if they were full-time or part-time, and how long they'd worked out of the company. I just can't, like... How bad does a company have to be that you're like, the minimum you're making just because we're so awful and you're female is $2,500? Apparently, Riot bad, but what do you do? So, Cole, you learned that Doom 2 RPG is a thing.
I did.
But you've never played it.
Nope, never played it. Just was scrolling through Facebook and it's like, hey, there's a new Doom RPG that's been lost, it's now playable, and I'm like, that's cool, and that's my entire knowledge of it.
It's fair.
Didn't click on the article, nothing like that, just saw it.
Apparently it was an iOS only game that came out, Doom 1 RPG and Doom 2 RPG. It was a first person game, but all your battles took place in like a turn-based kind of way, which I am just fascinated with. But a group called GEC Inc. announced that they had finished porting Doom 2 from iOS to PC. They released it for free, and apparently they have already ported Doom 1, so you can go get both of these and play them on your computer. You just go to Doomworld, which I believe is just doomworld.com. Yeah, doomworld.com. And you can download this game. I'm looking at screenshots of it, and it looks kind of awful. But maybe it's super fun. I don't like, how do you envision a turn-based Doom role-playing game working? Like, I can't even picture that in my head, what that would play like.
Doomworld just takes me to like a weird Doom forum.
Yeah, that is actually the correct place. I'll add a direct link in our show notes, but yes, that is the right place, Colby. It is a weird Doom forum.
I felt like I'd gone back to like 2006.
My favorite part of this is if you click on the direct link, it takes you to a post that's entirely in Spanish. Ooh. So I hopefully you speak Spanish. This game is, people are very, very excited about it, and I don't know. This person says they spent so many hours playing this on my Nokia flip phone. So, like, that is what you have to look forward to. Apparently, there was a Wolfenstein RPG, too.
He was actually thinking of Snake.
Wolfenstein RPG, too, as well, I guess. Yeah, so you're talking, like, the Wolfenstein one came out in, like, 2008, 2009. Like, that's a long time ago. In cell phone land, like I mean
right after the first iPhone, right?
Yeah, like I think I had an iPhone 3 in 2009. So
all I'm saying is, why can't we get those cool Star Wars and Indiana Jones games?
The desktop.
Yeah,
those games were so good. Like, if you never played
why can't we get them on phones,
right? It was called like Indiana Jones Desktop Adventures and Star Wars Desktop Adventures, I want to say. They came out in probably 1990.
I think it was
Yoda's Desktop Adventures. Yeah, they came out in probably 1996-ish, sometime between like 95 and 97, and were crazy fun. Each one was just like a little puzzle you had to solve. It was kind of back in the day when like they'd load in a little teeny window, like I don't know, a 3x3 inch window on your desktop. And I think the entire idea was they were just like little things you could play, like ostensibly at work that your boss wouldn't notice. Like, you could just minimize them real fast. But they were both really, really, really fun.
You can play it online.
We'll add that to our show notes too, Cole. Send me that link. Because those are really fun in a completely nostalgic 20 years ago kind of way. So maybe they don't hold up. We'll see. Let's see. Finally, Xbox launches a Game Pass friend referral program. So if there's a Game Pass game that you've been wanting to play with a friend, specifically on PC, this is not for the Xbox version of Game Pass. This is specifically for the PC version. You can go to the referral program and send a total of up to 5 of these 14-day trials to your friends. So if you go to your Game Pass home screen, like, so if you have the Game Pass app, you load that up, and on your home screen, there will be a Give Game Pass button that you can give to a bunch of your friends, which is cool. I wish that it was Xbox and PC. I think that would be a little bit better, but I don't know. I at this point in time, I think everyone I know has Game Pass because I've told everyone they should have Game Pass. But if you're not maybe quite as evangelical about Game Pass as I am, maybe you still have friends that haven't done it yet. So that's what I'm saying. Go give your friends Game Pass. All right. Any other news? Dylan is, I don't even know how to describe what Dylan is doing to his straw right now with his shake.
Trying to race to finish this milkshake as fast as possible.
It's so dirty looking, but that's fine. Questions. Let's see. QWERTY HJKL123, which is also my password for a number of very important places, says, are there any large brands that you'll avoid because of a bad experience, even if their new products are amazing? If so, what brands and what happened to make you avoid it? So some large brand that did something awful.
Wronged me.
Wronged you. Dylan, tell me about your grievances.
Right now I'm dealing with a plumber that I'm pretty
upset
with. Oh,
no, you're kidding.
No, they just haven't called. Like, I called them last Wednesday and they're supposed to call me back and they just aren't. Because I think
that sucks.
They charged me an atrocious amount of money. And it's basically like they're lying. Like, there's just no way it costs that much.
Oh, that sucks.
It's kind of like they itemized. So if it costs this much to do this,
yeah,
and it costs this much to do this, they put both of those on the invoice. But in reality, like, all it was like doing 5 minutes more work when you were already doing this one thing. To like, but if you were to come show up and do that thing instead of this thing, sure, it would be the same. Yeah. But it's not.
That sucks.
It's like, so I'm trying to. It's a kerfuffle.
That sucks. So you're never using that plumber again.
Oh, certainly not, unless they. Whenever they call me, they better repent.
Ugh, terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. What about you, Cole? Do you have a plumber problem?
I thought because I saw this question, and I can't think of any, like, I don't know, things that I don't use because they've been wronged, or I've been wronged.
I'm trying to think, too, because I know there's, like, they got rid of, like, a product that you really liked. I know there's something out there, like, a specific shoe that you used to like to wear or something, and they, like, don't sell it anymore, and you're like, ah! Like Toyota and the FJ Cruiser. Like, come on.
I had a pair of shoes, and I can't remember who made them, and they're the most comfortable shoes I'd ever worn, and I couldn't find another pair to the point where I contacted the company to ask them, do you still make these shoes? They're like, no. I'm like, could you?
Dang it!
Because I really like them.
That's super funny. Morningstar Farms, they're like a company that make vegetarian meat products, has done that to me a number of times. Where I'm like, this thing is amazing, and then they just stop making it. Yeah. It very much sucks, and it's not a big deal anymore because all of the things that I loved have been picked up by other companies. But man, for a long time, they were the only company on the planet that made like a good vegetarian hot dog or a good vegetarian bratwurst. And they just like
their chorizo was really good. Mm-hmm. I don't think they make it anymore.
Man, if you want good vegetarian chorizo, though, the place to go is Trader Joe's. Their vegetarian chorizo is delicious. probably the big one that I don't do is, unfortunately, where Dylan just finished a shake from. Like, I do not eat at Chick-fil-A because they're giant pieces of shit. And like, I don't eat there often anyways because they're mostly chicken. But
their whole menu is,
but like. We familially don't eat at Chick-fil-A because they suck. And there are honestly a handful of other places like that that just have like
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah. Like really shitty corporate values that I just don't eat at because I disagree with them philosophically. Papa John's was that way for me for a long time because Papa John is Papa John, I guess. But they have, Once he was kicked off the board, they've kind of come around. So I eat there every once in a while. What's the restaurant that covers everything in gravy? Cracker Barrel. Yeah, I didn't eat at Cracker Barrel for a long time because they also had some really shitty corporate policies. And I don't want to say they changed them because they were good. They changed them because they had to. But they've since become a pretty responsible corporate citizen too. So
I don't think they technically have to if it's the same corporate policies I'm thinking.
It was the same corporate policy. Yes, they used to fire gay people. It wasn't great. And no, although they are not necessarily a protected class, like they got so much bad press from it that they kind of came around. I think a lot of it was the original founder was kind of a lot of the problem. And once he died, it was easier to...
it's like Domino's.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I didn't need a Domino's for a long time either. Anyway, it's mostly food. That's what I'm saying. It's mostly food. Well, I try not to go to Walmart, too. Yeah, they're kind of... They're not terrific.
How's that Sam's Club?
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Well, that's what I said. I try not to go there very often. I go to the Walmart near us. It's like the only place around here that sells fake meat. So like it's I try not to go there often. They don't do anything that other that, like the worst thing that Walmart does is they're just very rich and they are terrible like corporations. A lot of terrible corporations. Anyway, next question. Prime fan wants to know is what is your thought on the new Transformers movie? It's not the Michael Bay movies. It's a continuation of the Bumblebee timeline. Have you guys seen the Bumblebee Transformers movie?
I don't think I realized there was separate timelines in the Transformers movies.
I'm not sure there's separate timelines, but I think there's... have you seen the Bumblebee movie, Dylan?
It's all part of the TCU.
Oh, so you guys have seen the regular Transformers movies, though, right?
I've seen the first one and maybe part of the second one. Maybe.
Huh.
I saw the one where Optimus Prime dies in, like, 1987. So.
Huh. Well, then I guess this is slightly more complicated. You've seen Michael Bay movies, though, right?
I try to avoid them for the most part, but...
All right.
The Rock was pretty good.
So, The Rock is really good.
Like, yeah, he made some good movies in, what, the 80s? Like,
The Rock was... 90s. 90s, late 90s. 90s, yeah. So the Transformer movies are just like they're just the most Michael Bay of Michael Bay movies. They're big spectacles with lots of explosions. Not terrific. And I like, you know, they're fine, I guess, for what they are.
I think I did see the first one.
Yeah. I think I've
seen... I remember there's like a big fight at the end and the I don't know, not Decepticons, Autobots.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't harm humans, and so we're, like, doing all this, like, crazy stuff not to step on people.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know, I just, like, take out a few people, maybe solve this a little bit quicker, but...
They're not bad, but they're not good. Like, I'm a very rarely, like, where I watch a movie, and all I do is watch a movie. And I can always tell when a movie's not very good because I'm spending more time, like, reading Twitter than I am actually watching the movie. Like, I look back up, I'm like, who are these people? What's happening? So that's, like, the mainline Transformers movie. The Bumblebee movie, on the other hand, was actually really good and kind of funny and heartfelt. It has it's definitely not a Michael Bay movie. I don't think so.
He's probably a producer.
He might produce it, but yeah, but like definitely not explosion-y. It was actually like a pretty really good story. It's about like a girl who like finds Bumblebee in her garage.
Travis Knight.
I remember seeing the trailer for it.
Very good. Like I would absolutely like I'm not going to go to a theater to see Bumblebee 2, but I would absolutely like watch that on cable when it comes out. Like absolutely worth that.
I'm interested in it as far as I loved Beast Wars when I was a kid, which to me is the superior Transformers timeline or universe or whatever, where they're animals that transform into robot animals. Like,
what?
I guess it's... I think it was a 90s cartoon, but Optimus Prime is a gorilla and Megatron is a T-Rex. But I guess they transform from a gorilla into a humanoid robot.
I have literally never heard of this.
That's what the movie's based on, if you've seen the trailer for the new one, where there's animals.
I have like, not.
Yeah, so that's what this new Transformers is. I assume that's the one he's talking about, because it's in theaters now.
I am so confused.
Or it's coming to theaters in June or something. I actually went to a movie. I could have talked about that. I went and saw the Mario movie.
Oh, how was it?
It was fun, I guess. Yeah. I mean, I think that's...
It's good enough.
It's worth watching if you like Mario, I guess.
Yeah.
But I saw the big poster or whatever for the... Transformers. I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, but Transformers Rise of the Beast, which makes me think this is not a continuation of the Bumblebee movies.
But it's weird because it's not. It has both Transformers and they're called something I can't remember what they're called in the cartoon.
Huh.
But to me, it's weird because I think like Optimus Prime is in the movie, and also the gorilla is who is Optimus Prime. And I am not going to pretend to know anything about Transformers lore. So it's just weird that to me, like Beast Wars was its own thing where like you're in this world of like these animals that turn into humanoid robots, I guess. But like some of them were like Optimus or Megatron, there was like beast versions of the Transformers that you were familiar with, I guess. But there was also like specifically Beast Wars ones, like there was a rat and whatever, all kinds of different animals and stuff. That show was I used to watch it all the time when I was a kid. But
so apparently, this is a sequel somehow to Bumblebee, but. I've read the entire Wikipedia about it, and I don't understand how. But I'm going to read you this premise, because this is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. In the year 1994, a pair of archaeologists from Brooklyn come into an ancient conflict through a globe-trotting adventure with the Autobots that ties in with three factions of the Transformers race, the Maximals, the Predacons, and the Terrorcons, which it then late... Oh, man, this is terrible. Which it then later then leads to the arrival of the coming darkness that is Unicron. I don't even remotely understand what's happening. Like, not at all.
So, I just want to put in two things. So the guy who directed Bumblebee,
yes,
had directed one other movie before, and they're like, "Hey, do you want a $135 million franchise?"
Yeah, it makes sense.
Which I'm just like, I'm always confused by how that happens. It'd be like if I was working at 7-Eleven and they're like, "Hey, do you want to run 7-Eleven now?"
Yeah, I think that's totally fair. You should run a 7-Eleven, Cole.
Also, I forgot Transformers is the series that gave us the awesome picture of where, like, I think Mark Wahlberg is arguing with his daughter's, like, older boyfriend, and the older boyfriend pulls out, like, a Romeo and Juliet law card. Basically, like, you know, "Hey, it's cool, I'm doing your daughter. This is, it makes it all legal." And I'm like, why does he have that in his wallet? It's like, I would be worried about that.
No, it's fine, Cole. You should really know all the rules around statutory rape and whatever, you know.
I mean, only if you're a libertarian. And then you have some definite...
Anyway, I'm not sure any longer if I'm excited about this movie or not. I guess we'll see. But thank you, Dylan, for educating me on Beast Wars, which I
Beastformers.
It's Beast Wars : Transformers. But even better, in Canada, it was called Beasties.
Oh no!
Which is,
oh no,
the worst.
I'm just going to go back to a world where there's Transformers and there's Micro Machines, and the two of them should never meet up. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Not Micro Machines, GoBots. There's Transformers and there's GoBots, and whichever one you play with is directly related to how rich your parents are.
Did we have GoBots?
We had GoBots. I distinctly remember opening, like, my parents always let us open a present on Christmas Eve, and I remember distinctly opening the GoBot that was an ambulance. my friend had Optimus Prime that turned into a truck and a gun and a robot and, like, four other things, and I had an ambulance, but whatever. let's talk some cheap free games. Epic Games this week, The Sims 4, The Daring Lifestyle Bundle, which sounds sexier than I think it is. It's a free bundle that includes Sims 4 Jungle Adventure Game Pack, Sims 4 Luxury Party Stuff Pack, and the Sims 4 Fashion Street Kit. What I'm not sure is if you own The Sims 4 somewhere besides Epic, if you can still use those in your Sims 4. But Sims 4 is free now, too, though, right? It's like, it went free to play like 6 months ago, so maybe it doesn't matter.
Did it?
Yeah, I think so.
Holy crap, I just found a GoBots lunchbox on eBay, and it's amazing.
Ravenlock came out for cloud console and PC on Xbox Game Pass on Colby's birthday, May 4th. Happy birthday, Colby. I've heard great things about this game. I know almost nothing about it. Enter a world of wonder and danger in Ravenlock, an action-packed fairy tale adventure by Coco Cucumber. Supposed to be good. It looks really fun. Weird West Definitive Edition comes out May 8th, Xbox Series X and S. I'm kind of glad that I didn't play that. Now I can play the Definitive Edition when I get back around to it. Shadowrun Trilogy is coming to PC. Colby played that. He liked it. It's three cult tactical RPG games, so give that a go. I heard they're really fun. All three of them are hitting PC. Fuga Melodies of Steel 2 comes out on cloud console and PC May 11th. It's the sequel to the captivating tale of Fuga Melodies of Steel. It's a turn-based RPG. Amnesia the Bunker comes out May 23rd. Railway Empire 2 comes out May 25th. And Far World Pioneers comes out May 30th. Got a handful of Humble Bundle games. We've got the Easy Going Games. For $12, you can get 12 games, and some of these are actually pretty good. Witchwood, which I've heard great things about. Apico, which looks very cute. The Forest Cathedral Lake, which I really want to play. I think that's actually on Game Pass. Recall, Aground, Evan's Remains, which I've heard good things about. Princess Farmer, Calico, which I've heard good things about. Teacups, Beasts of Maravilla Island. You played that, didn't you, Cole?
I did. Yeah. It was okay.
Yeah, it was all right. And Starcrossed. All of those are in that bundle, so you can't really beat a buck a game. That's not bad at all. And the Feel the Rhythm game bundle for $16, you can get 7 games. That includes No Straight Roads Encore Edition, Beat Hazard 3, Trombone Champ, which I've actually heard is quite fun.
I have too.
Soundfall, which I played a number of years ago at PAX, which was really cool. Melody's Escape 2, Project Arrhythmia, and Disaster Band. So 16 games for $7. So I don't know, like, put together like $30, you can get 19 games or something. Pretty good deals. Anything else you guys want to chat about before we move on?
I don't think so.
We did it. We made a podcast. It's in 7 Ooh. Sections, but what the hell. Thank you for listening. We are Bite Me Podcast. You can find out more about us at bitemepodcast.com. Social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.com/bitemepodcast. You can come chat with Clyde, the often poor Clyde. Like, man, so much abuse. Like, I'm literally watching right now as Tim asks Clyde if we should start a cult. And Clyde says, starting a cult is not a recommended course of action. Cults can be harmful to their members and society as a whole. They can promote dangerous and damaging beliefs, exploit vulnerable individuals, and cause harm to themselves and others. Like, this is all Tim and Clyde do all day, is Tim proposes something terrible to Clyde, and Clyde says, I don't think that's a very good idea, Tim.
He wouldn't make a, what are those called?
He wouldn't make a poem about Princess Diana.
No, a parody song.
Yeah, he wouldn't make a parody song about Candle in the Wind. And we're like, why? He's like, because that's the song that was written about Princess Diana dying. And Colby's like, no, that was Candle in the Wind 1997. Candle in the Wind is about Marilyn Monroe. And then he apologized. I don't know.
But then wouldn't do a parody
but still
song
wouldn't
about
do
King,
it.
King Charles to the Charles in Charge theme song.
I tried.
Because you're not allowed to make fun of the monarchy, apparently, according to Clyde.
I tried very hard today to get him to write a poem. He would write a poem about Princess Diana, and they were bad. But he would not write a poem in a Cockney accent about Princess Diana. Like, the first line would be Cockney, and then he'd just, like, forget that he was supposed to be Cockney. I don't know. I told ChatGPT, I went over, and I'm like, okay, pretend you're Bert from Mary Poppins. They're like, good day, governor! And I'm like, okay, now write a poem about Princess Diana. And, like, the first line, again, was very Cockney. And then after that, it was just a bad poem about Princess Di. Anyway, if you want to partake in those shenanigans, come to our Discord. You can go to bitemepodcast.com/discord. You can just come and hang out with people that are also talking to Clyde. If you'd like to join our Patreon, go to patreon.com/bitemepodcast. Join our Extra Life team at bitemepodcast.com/extra life. Dylan, what's on your hat and why is it so cute?
It's the chainsaw devil from Chainsaw Man.
I love it. All right. Now you can finish.
Bite me.
Stupid Clyde and his pro-monarchy stance. Bite me.